kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
With you from the Word, that I believe the Lord would have us to hear. And for those of you who take notes, we're going to call our teaching today, Our Authority Comes in Knowing the Truth. Our authority comes in knowing the truth. God has so created and made us that we should know truth. And truth is absolutely essential for our guidance, our understanding, the way we should go, what decisions we make. We sometimes underestimate the importance and the value of truth. And the Bible tells us very clear that if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. And the only guarantee of truth in this fallen world that we live in is Jesus Christ. He was the only one who could affirm in authority and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one else ever who has ever walked on this earth has ever been able to have the authority to appeal to that. Now, you may have governments, you may have dictators, you may have leaders, and our history books are full of them who say, listen to me, I have the truth, and so on. But they only have partial truth. They may have a small insight of truth, but only the Lord himself said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And he clearly revealed this. And I start with this because that is where our authority as believers and Christians come. Our authority doesn't come in what I think or what I believe in Christianity or what I think the Word of God says and so on. Our authority in God's Word comes as we are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are made a new creation in Christ. He then, through the new birth, through the baptism, he imparts to us his truth. So our truth, our believing, the very fact of this meeting today comes because he has given authority, he has shown us truth for our gathering. Otherwise, it's just a meeting. It's just a lot of talk, a lot of hot air. And we've got a lot of that today. But not with God. Because he has promised and said, where two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst. And I want to base this today from the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And it goes on. So God says, draw near to me, and I draw near to you. And I always say, you won't know God, you won't know unless you make that effort, that step of drawing near. And he's promised, and he says, I then will draw near to you. And when God draws near to you, you are never the same. Your life is never the same. Your life completely changes. Your mind, your thinking, your attitude, your outlook, everything is different. This is why I say the Christian faith is radical in some way. The power of God, and it is only the power of God, his Spirit is the one who changes us. And he makes us a new creation. Do you know what it means to be made a new creation? We use the term being born again. What it actually means is that God has placed himself through Jesus Christ in that area within our heart and soul and spirit. Amen. That area that needs to be filled. That area where we're searching for answers. We're searching for questions. We're searching for that peace. All those things that humanity is looking for. And it's looking in the wrong directions. It looks to its governments. It looks to leaders. It looks to anyone they think has the answer. But it doesn't. And they don't. God is the only one who has the answer. And why? Because we are made and created in his image. Amen. God says he knows every strand of hair on your head. There is nothing that he does not know or see or understand about us. He knows our very thoughts. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. We can go to our psychiatrists and our psychologists who are trying to analyze and understand us, but they do not know the heart of man. The Bible tells us so clearly that what is in the heart will come out. So if you are unhappy, or somebody has upset you, or you are battling someone to like them and love them, it will eventually come out. The heart speaks. And how do we know? Because we put words to what is in us. Where does all that come from? It's the inner being of man where God wishes to dwell in us. We were created and made for a relationship with Almighty God. But sin got in the way and separated and hindered that relationship. But our relationship is being drawn back again through the greatest gift that he has given to humanity, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And isn't it so sad that much of what we hear today of Jesus Christ comes out in profanity and swearing? Mm. And as I always say, why do they always use that name? Why do they always use the name of Almighty God? There are millions of other names that can be used to swear with, but it's always that name. Good giveaway, isn't it? Good giveaway. You see, the powers of darkness hate that name. And so he says here, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And there has to be a cleansing, because it is sin that separates us from the love of God. And the way we confess sin is through confession. It is being honest and open. It is being honest before God that I hold resentment against that person, or whatever it would be. And only God can cleanse us of that. Only God can put his love in us to embrace the unlovely. And believe me, there are many, many things outside and people, sadly, who are unlovely, to say the least. But God empowers us to be able to embrace the unlovely, to embrace those that reject us, or use us, or lie, or whatever it would be. Only God's love can embrace that and forgive through Jesus Christ. You try and do it in your own strength, you will never do it. I know a lot of Christians, very sincere, but they are trying to live the Christian walk. They are trying to serve God. They are trying to love their enemy and so forth. You never will do it. It's as you call on God, the power of God in your life. It takes his love, his forgiveness, all that lies in him. When we yield over to him, he will work that through us. That's the only way it works. That's the only way it can ever be done. I've had to call on God many times. Lord, place that love in my heart for that person. I just can't in myself. It's just not there. And as I wait on the Lord in prayer and ask him with a true heart, guess what? You find suddenly your attitude, your thinking, everything's changed towards that person. You are positive towards them, whereas you were negative before. Couldn't have a good word. Now, who can do that? Only Almighty God can do that. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And you see, when you start to be touched by God in this way, you begin to realize he is truth. There is no lie in him. And therefore, when you can trust someone so perfect that there's no lie in them, you can trust your very life, your very soul, your very future, your very destiny in his hands. That's good news to me. But as I said, there are many speculations today as to what is truth. And no one can know the whole truth, only the Holy Spirit whom God baptizes you into. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered, you receive the whole truth of Almighty God in Jesus Christ. And he is now going to reveal that truth to you. And how does he do that? Well, he does this through the Word of God, the Bible. He does it through ministry, ministers, through the preaching of the Word. And so we get that, start to get that understanding of truth. One could say that our gathering today, by God, is so that we can learn a bit more truth that sets us free. Because when you are set free from doubt, confusion, it places an authority upon you. It places a boldness upon you. It changes you. There's nothing worse than when you are confused. Now, it's interesting that I had to yesterday go up to London. I had to go up to North East London. And I was aware that, of course, there was a train strike on yesterday. So I thought, well, Lord, this is in your hands. You know, please pave the way for me and so on, because the traffic was horrendous. And I've got a sat nav, so you put the address into the sat nav, and the sat nav's communicating, direct to me, go left, go right, carry on this road, and so forth. And there was a lot of traffic and everything. And eventually, the sat nav said to me, "You've arrived at your destination." And I look, I think, have I? You know, and I'm thinking, I went to a birthday celebration. And it was supposed to be the sports club, a sports centre. I cannot see any sports centre. All I can see is houses and a few shops and a load of traffic. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, where do I go now? And I felt God sort of say to me, now, what are you relying on? Are you relying upon prayers? You've asked me to guide and lead you, or is all your faith in that sat nav? Well, of course, my faith was in that sat nav, and it had taken me to the wrong place. So I carry on. I said, Lord, where do I go now? So I thought, well, I'll turn left here. And then I thought, no, I think I've gone wrong. Need to come back out. Let's turn right. And then I saw a policeman. And so he got his phone out, and he said, now, you need to go up there. You need to turn left. Make sure you see the job centre on your right, and so forth. So, off I go, and I think, thank you, Lord, you'll get me there. I see the job centre, praise God, there's the, you know, and I carry on, and I think, now, where's this road? into this sports centre. And again, you know, felt the Lord saying to me, are you going to trust me or not? You know, I thought, Lord, you've got me here. It's obviously right on my doorstep, whatever it is. And by this time, I'm well late because it's supposed to start at 6. It's nearly 7 o'clock. And I thought, right, okay. So I went, I saw a news agent. I went in there and the bloke said to me, it's no good asking me. He said, you better ask the missus. She knows where everything is. So I asked her. She was marvellous. She came out and I wasn't very far. And it was a little narrow road. And what I found was that the sat-nav had taken me to the right place, but the wrong entrance. The entrance is closed. You have to go right round a block to get round to the other side. So I eventually get there. But God, who is all truth, who knows all things, at that point was overriding the sat-nav. And I was going to human beings, human contact, instead of technology, who was able to talk to me in a language I could understand, I could comprehend, and there the Lord got me to that place. You see, it's easy when it doesn't go right. When we rely on these things and suddenly you find it lets you down. That's why I tell everyone, don't totally rely on these sat-navs because they don't always get you to the right place. And the Lord overtook. You see, it would have been easy to have lost it. Because by this time, it was quite a journey. There were diversions, there were accidents on the way, you name it, the lot there. I sort of felt, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm dying to have a drink. I could have exploded. I could feel it, all the pressure rising as it does. And I thought, no, God has got this under control. He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. He sits on the throne. He's well able to speak to me. I have the Holy Spirit. And lo and behold, he says, go back. Turn right there. Then he showed me a shop that was open. I was to go into there. He had planned it all. But if I had hit the roof and got all upset and got angry, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. You see, this is why we need to learn to praise God, to keep calm when it's all going wrong. But God is always one step ahead. He's in control. And we need to listen. We need to overcome these emotions and frustrations that just take over almost, you know. But you eventually learn, don't you, these things. So that was my trial and overcoming. And of course, when I got there, only half were there anyway, so I wasn't late. And they too, I was talking to some others, they too had exactly the same problem. The sat-nav took them to the other entrance, which appears to be nothing there at all. So it wasn't just me. But why am I stressing all of this? Because God is truth. Amen. There's no lie in him. We have to learn to listen to God. And one of the ways you listen to God is you keep calm. And I started to go in tongues and I started to praise him. I thought, worship's going to break this. Praise and worship's going to break this oppression that's getting me all frustrated. Because something God is teaching me, I'm a stickler for time. I'm from the old school. You know, my parents brought me up, time is time. You don't keep people late. It is rude and everything. And there's truth to it. I praise God for that. But sometimes you can be so stunted. You can be so, you know, in bondage to this. That, you know, I was late anyway. But of course, when I got there, I realized I wasn't. So God is always in control. And there's always something to learn with God. This is what I love about my Saviour. There's always something to learn. And that knowledge, that learning is truth. It's always in truth. And so, never limit what God can and He will do in our lives. But you know, when we learn this truth, this is why we get into the scriptures, we get into the Bible. As we learn these, we know that we're only going to know truth when we have a faith that acts. That's why James says, don't only be hearers, but doers of the word. So if I want to know truth, and the truth sets me free, and God says, then draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Whatever God is going to reveal, I have to act upon it. As I'm not going to know the truth of what He wants me to know. You see, we preach so much about faith here, don't we? But faith is really about knowing. You know, when you read about the great saints and everything, very often the miracles that happen, God was already guiding them. God was already speaking to them. He was already beginning to reveal truth. This is why I always say, you don't just step out of the boat like that. God leads you towards stepping out of the boat and walking supernaturally on the water like Peter did. Peter had to learn. Peter made that move. Because we know now that the rest of the disciples didn't. They still stayed in the boat. But he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord coming towards them, walking on the water. He said, Lord, you know, I want to do that. And the Lord says, well, come. You know, come. Didn't stop him. But of course, we know what happened. He began to take his eyes off the Lord and began to look at the waves and thought, wow, look at this. And the next thing, he's starting to sink. He's going down. And the Lord, of course, is there to support him. He was learning a lesson about faith. Whenever you step out in faith, you have to ask yourself, you have to know, am I looking to Jesus Christ and to Him and Him alone? Is He my focus, or am I looking to circumstances? Am I looking to other means? Am I focused on Him? I knew yesterday, getting lost, the only way I will find that place, I get my focus on Jesus. I knew I was doing it in the car. It wasn't just something or an idea that come. I knew I was in a situation, I'm lost, the sat-nav's let me down, but if I look to Jesus Christ and Him alone, He will get me there. Because in the natural, you don't get lost in those areas in London. Mm. If any of you know anything about it, or you motor up there, whatever it is, it doesn't help you when you get lost. You can't always stop with the flow of traffic, you know, and you can't just stop and ask somebody. It's not always as simple as that. You've got cars on your back and so on. So I knew God was going to get me there. I had to look to Him and Him alone, and He will get me there. And it is the same with faith. It is the same when we step out in faith. It is the same when we go through a trial, or a physical trial, a financial trial, whatever the trials, we face them. Am I focused on Jesus Christ? Am I looking to Him? You have to ask yourself that. You have to test yourself in that. Or is the fear and anxiety and the emotions so overpowering that I can't see Christ at the moment? And if you are like that, and we're human, God knows our weaknesses, stop. Don't move any further. Don't do anything foolish, because that's where the enemy wants to trick you. You stop and you get back and you focus. This is where prayer comes in. This is where sometimes you need to just get away from the crowd or get into a room on your own or whatever it is. I need to focus on him. See, that is what Jesus was teaching Peter when he got out of the boat. He was teaching him, do not look to those waves. Do not look to the fact that you are walking on water, which should never happen. That is a miracle. People don't walk on water. He says, don't look to any of that. Look to me, to the one who is walking on water. It was a simple but profound lesson to learn. And we need to learn that lesson with our faith walk. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Mm-hmm. We don't know what next week holds. All we do is we live today. We live in the now with the Lord leading and guiding us. That's why I say so often, today, this isn't a mistake. Our being here today is not a mistake. It is what God has done. He's worked through our situation. He's worked in our hearts. He's worked. This is what he does. He's a miracle working God. He has brought us today. This is his divine appointment. This is what he wants us to hear today. A simple message, but I trust profound. And we need to be reminded of these simplistic things, which we can so overlook. You know, when we get deep in the word and various things, we can so overlook these things of just focusing on Jesus Christ. So when you go through a trial, or when things happen, or you get lost like I did, just focus on him. Yes, you have to deliberately do it. You have to sometimes make yourself do it. But you know that that's real. I've got to draw near first to God. That's what James tells us there. That's what I had to do last night in driving. I had to draw near to him first, get my eyes on Jesus, amen, and then he took over.
Amen.
And that is the principle of the faith walk, how we walk with God. And yet we can miss that a mile off, can't we?
Yeah.
Because technology has let me down. Or somebody's supposed to be picking me up at a certain time has let me down. I mean, we just face all of this, don't we? Every day, these dilemmas and so on. But we can make our walk so much simpler if we put that principle in operation. So think about this as I bring this to a close. The next testing, the next trial, just say to yourself, I don't understand any of this. I don't like this. It's not nice, but I'm going to focus on Jesus Christ who lives in my life, and he is going to bring me through, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him and him alone. Why? Because all authority is in knowing him, and he is the truth. That is why he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And he says, no man can come to the Father except by him or through him.
Praise
the Lord. Praise God. Keep your eyes solely on him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you sometimes bring us back to the simple principles that we so often overlook or forget. Father, I pray that you will bring these things to our remembrance.
Amen.
Lord, help us to put what we've heard today in practice.
Amen.
And we're all going to go through various trials and testings or whatever. But Lord, we know that you said we don't go through those on our own.
Amen.
You go through it with us as well. And so because you are with us, you go through it as well. then, Lord, we keep our eyes on you and not on circumstances, not any bad report or what somebody says or what it appears or looks like. We look to you the same as you were teaching Peter to look to you walking on the water. Father, help us, Lord, to do this. Help us, Father, not just to hear this, but to be also doers of this, we ask now, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Mighty Jesus.
Open up your heart and rejoice before him, for the Lord, for he is your Lord.
Sing it again.
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him, for the Lord is your God. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Disaster, let him in constancy fall.